The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk, what is on your mind about firearms today? It is another great day, super great day in Fairbanks. The sun is bright, 1 degrees here this morning downtown. And here at the KFAR broadcasting station, Melissa has saved us again. She's running the board. Thank you, Melissa. And she's keeping the archives up to date. So if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day. And I appreciate that. Our agenda for today, Glenn Miller is with us with another Glenn Miller's Reloading Bench program. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
Yeah, and Glenn has a list of topics to talk about, but listeners, please call in and ask Glenn your reloading and ammunition questions, too. Glenn has so much knowledge. I do not have that knowledge. Take advantage of his being on Shooter's Corner. Some topics on Glenn's list for today are new experiences he encountered this year on the competition circuit related to reloading problems. And those problems are associated with reloading components rather than operator error. And Glenn has information about new reloading equipment and accessories released at this year's SHOT Show, and he will let us know some extreme lengths reloaders are going to for procuring components for reloading, and some of these extremes are dangerous. And Glenn has information about new reloading component availability in Fairbanks. I can't wait to hear that. And more, very importantly, Glenn has a new excuse for you to slip out of the house with your range bag, ammunition, and gun. Just tell your family you are going to attend Mass with Glenn Miller, and that would be the honest truth. And before I turn the show over to Glenn, first, a short history of raisins for National Chocolate Covered Raisin Day, which is today. And how many of our listeners munched on a box of Raisinets while watching a movie at the theater when we were young? Now, raisins have been around likely as long as man discovered the first grapes, a bunch of grapes left out in the sun, turned to raisins, and suddenly mankind has a long shelf life, shall we say cave life, easily transportable, sweet, nutritious snack. Now, between 218 and 203 BC, the great military leader Carthaginian general Hannibal caught Romans off guard by crossing the Alps with his troops who were fueled by raisins. And in 154 BC in ancient Rome, raisins were used as rewards in athletic competitions, payment for taxes, a medical wonder cure, and as barter currency. In 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered that raisins were the perfect accompaniment for voyages across the high seas because they kept for a very long time. So raisins were part of the rations aboard the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Between 1900 and 1904, Robert Falcon Scott packed raisins as provisions on his expeditions to the South Polar regions. And during 1908 and to 1909, Robert Perry relied on pemmican and raisins to nourish his exploration party. In 1962, astronaut Scott Carpenter ate raisin-filled granola bars. Carpenter became the first person to carry and consume raisins in outer space. And the thing is, you can't reconstitute a raisin back into a grape. But Glenn Miller can reconstitute a spent case back into a usable component for a new cartridge. And with that silliness, let me turn this program over to Glenn for another session of Glenn Miller's Reloading Bench. Glenn, the program's all yours.
Thanks, Laura, and I appreciate your confidence in me being able to reload casings. There are some that I can't, and I've encountered some this winter that I thought I could, and I'm going to talk about that today because it surprised me. This is something new that I've encountered and something for reloaders to watch out for. And I also love raisinets. I haven't had them in a long time, but I do love them. And In fact, when you were mentioning that, those, I haven't thought about those things in years.
Well, if I can find some at the store, I'll get them for all of us.
Next March 24th,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so today I'm going to talk about some of my experiences over the last 4 months when I was traveling in the lower 48 and shooting various United States Practical Shooting Association and Steel Challenge matches, and how hopefully what I experienced and going to share with everyone can help us at the reloading bench. But first I want to mention that the registration for the next NRA Metallic Cartridge Reloading class, which is scheduled for June 11th this summer, is now available for registration. The March 26th class, which is this Saturday, is full. And after conducting these reloading classes for over a year now, I'm really happy to report that it's been a big success, both in class attendance and student satisfaction.
Great.
And really the primary reason for this is accredited to the assistant instructors mm-hmm. that I have, both Don and Dave, who assure that every student receives individual attention when we're doing the hands-on
yeah.
portion of the class. And all the functional steps that are necessary to safely and properly reload ammunition. So a big thanks to both Dave and Don and to all the students that have attended these classes. Besides educational, they're a lot of fun. We do make it fun, and everyone has a good time in these classes. So I've been so busy with everything that, I actually totally forgot about mentioning the new shooting event. And so,
yes.
And thank you for reminding me. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So it's a new shooting event that I'm going to unveil soon. And as Laura mentioned, it's called MASS. And MASS stands for Miller's Action Speed Shooting. So this shooting event comes from the desire to offer indoor steel challenge shooting in Fairbanks during the winter months, but the logistics of doing so are very, very difficult. Shooting steel indoors it just doesn't work well. So, and steel challenge is something that I started doing a couple of years ago, and it's one of the fastest growing shooting sports in the nation, and it attracts shooters of all experience levels and age groups, from preteens through seniors. And when I say preteens, I mean preteens. I was shooting with several shooters this winter that were 10 and 11 years old, and they
wow.
were just doing yeah. really well with it. The younger shooters love it due to the speed aspect. It's fast and exciting. And older shooters, they love it as it's relatively simple and there's no running involved, such as what's necessary in USPSA mm-hmm. action
yeah.
shooting. So we get a lot of shooters that used to shoot USPSA. They don't want to do the running around anymore. So they go to Steel Challenge and they have a great time with it. And what also makes it highly attractive is the numbers of firearm divisions available to participate in the sport. You can participate with a simple 22 rifle. Or 22 pistol, and you don't need any accessories like holsters, magazine pouches, specialized gear. You just need a case for the gun if you're shooting in the 22 division. Mm-hmm. And there's also divisions for center fire firearms like revolvers, pistols, pistol caliber carbines. So there's a division for everyone depending on what you have and what type of firearm you enjoy shooting. But as I stated, trying to offer this type of shooting, meaning steel challenge, it's extremely difficult due to range limitations on space and distance. You have lead splatter, range damage, ventilation issues with painting targets, scoring challenges without going downrange. The list goes on and on. So trying to do this indoors up here in the winter, and that's what I was focused on. We can shoot steel challenge outdoors, no problem. Mm-hmm. But trying to do it in the winter months is very difficult. So, but we're going to go to a break real quick and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need. Rods to tackle to ice augers. At Frontier Outfitters, you'll also find the right winter clothing. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs in Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hey, it's Steve from Auto Trim Design. We take care of our family and we're looking to add one more to the team. We currently have an opening for a hard parts installer. Duties include installing running boards, moose lights, and similar. Applicants are required to have their own basic set of tools. We offer medical, dental, or retirement program and provide on-the-job training as well. If you're a vehicle enthusiast, you can't go wrong with joining the Auto Trim Design family. Apply in person at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Mainly clear skies and quiet today with daytime highs approaching 29. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 8 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a mix of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 6 degrees above zero.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK. Glenn Miller is here today. Tell us what's on your mind about firearms and ask any reloading ammunition questions of Glenn. You all just missed the clock falling off the wall. That might be the most exciting thing that happens today. Glenn, I'll turn the program over to you.
Well, I hope I can make it a little bit more exciting than the clock falling off the wall. So we were talking about steel challenge shooting in indoors, and it's very difficult to do that. But we do need something to do up here in the winter months and do it in an indoor range. So I've been thinking about this for more than a year. But anyway, my love of this type of shooting, steel challenge, it wouldn't let me give up. And I've developed a hybrid that combines the speed and action and excitement of steel challenge shooting, but remains friendly to the indoor range and addresses the issue attached to shooting steel targets in an indoor range based on the type of targets that we're using. And because we'll be shooting on an indoor range, it's similar to steel challenge, but we're still not following all the steel challenge rules. So regardless what type of firearm you're shooting, whether it's 22 or center fire, in this discipline, you won't need a holster because we won't be shooting from the holster, which in steel challenge you do with center fire. So just to make that clear. But the bottom line is this event, what it's going to do, it'll test each competitor's ability to knock down a certain number of reactive targets on the clock. So the lower your time, the better your score. And the event will also match you up against other competitors in a shoot-off scenario where each winner continues up a ladder until there's only two competitors left, and then you shoot for the top spot in the shoot-off with the same type of reactive targets. So it's simple, yet fast and fun. And again, you could use either center fire or rim fire rifles and pistols. So look for the event announcements soon, and I'll keep you updated on when we're going to have the first mass match. But once we get going with this, I would like to offer them on a regular basis during the winter months. Because I do think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think they're going to be great fun. They'll be at the fish and game range, and you will let us know when the dates get nailed down.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I might try this.
I'm just looking forward to the fact that that means Glenn's not leaving to Florida.
Yeah. And he'll be on the radio
program. Well, I need somebody to take over to run this in the winter. So one other important announcement that I'd like to make, and you're going to like this, Laura. I don't know if seen this yet or not, but it's the introduction of the SIG 322 pistol. So I know you like SIG pistols.
Yes, I do.
And so do I. In fact, I shoot a SIG 320 X5 in competition and production division. But this is a brand new, fairly full-size semi-auto pistol. It's a 4-inch barrel, but it's chambered in 22 long rifle.
Okay.
And it's packed with features. It looks like a full-size 365 with the grip angle and things. And you know how popular the 365 is. So it looks like a larger 365. It has an aluminum slide, similarly shaped grip, and it features fully adjustable fiber optic front sights. Mm-hmm. It has an optic-ready removable plate, so if you want to use your favorite red dot, you can do so. 20-round magazines.
Oh, goodness.
20-round magazines, okay? And it comes with two, okay?
Oh, wow.
And it has a threaded barrel with an adapter, so if you want to put your muffler on and you know, please your neighbors, it's friendly to that. And lots of other options. So this gun should really be a nice gun for practice, for plinking, and possibly for competition in Steel Challenge or Mass events. So I really hope they start showing up in town because I'm going to be looking for one.
Yeah.
And I think SIG stated that the MSRP was going to be right around $400.
That's a great price.
So, you know, that should be a really fun gun. Yeah. I have a Taurus TX-22 that I really like shooting. And this SIG should be just as good, if not better.
So they're calling it the P-322?
The P-322,
yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm going to take a look at that when I get
home.
So,
so look for that. So before we dive into the reloading topics, we were talking about this before the show a little bit. I wanted to comment on something that Chuck talked about on last week's Shooter's Corner. He had a great program, and I really enjoyed listening to everything he had to say. He was giving us a lot of good information to think about. The use of deadly force, and specifically the aftermath, you know, of such an encounter. But one item that Chuck mentioned in particular that caught my attention was regarding training techniques used by instructors to induce stress, and that was to hit students with a stick. I don't know if you caught that, but I don't think that instructor and I would be getting along real well. But Chuck did mention he doesn't use that method, which is good. But what Chuck said was instead he uses a shot timer, okay? And he said when the beep of the timer went off, it was something like out of Men in Black, where, you know, the memory was gone and, you know, everything went to pot, right? And, you know, the shooter forgets what they're supposed to do. A little bit of adrenaline starts flowing. Your fine motor skills go out the window. I mean, you know, all this stuff happens. Yeah. And I've seen this. Because suddenly you're under pressure to perform a shooting task against the clock, and this causes most shooters to have a certain amount of panic. And you know, you were mentioning that just shooting bullseye, with, you know, and you know, it's not a lot of stress associated with that, but you do, you feel that.
I feel the stress when the timer, and I feel the stress when the RSO is walking behind me and watching me.
Right.
Yeah, it's just built into us.
So, you know, I see this shooting competitively in Steel Challenge, but mostly in USPSA because you're navigating sometimes a really complex shooting scenario involving running, reloading, you're shooting, swinging, moving, or disappearing targets from various positions, and you're pushing yourself to perform at cold, meaning you haven't practiced it before, and you want to do it as fast as possible. And most shooters experience a bit of an adrenaline dump once that beep of the shot timer goes off, results in shaky hands at the end of the stage, and when the RO, you know, calls for you to unload and show clear. Some people are really nervous. You can see their hands are shaking. And as an RO that have run shooters at national events many times, I've actually had to stop and help competitors unload their guns and get it reholstered because they were shaking so bad after the stage was over. And, you know, nobody's shooting back at these people, you know, but it's just the pressure that they get put upon them when that shot timer goes off is sometimes immense.
Yes.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is it's a simple technique of using a shot timer can be a really powerful tool for your training process. And I've found that having someone else run the shot timer doubles the stress versus running the shot timer yourself. I mean, I use a shot timer all the time when I'm practicing. But if somebody else runs it, it kind of adds to that stress a little bit. And add spectators and the stress multiplies even greater.
Yes.
So this is why I believe shooting competitively not only makes you a better shooter, but it also helps you understand and cope with the stress while you're shooting. Because the longer you do it, the more you anticipate what's going to happen and you deal with it. You know, competitive shooting, it's not a substitute for other types of training and education, regarding self-defense scenarios, but it's a piece of the puzzle that's fun, and it'll improve your accuracy, your speed, and your firearm handling skills. So, and that's what I, shooting competitively, that's what I get out of it, besides the fun and the competition. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So where are we at with time, being as the clock is no longer?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay.
The clock is no longer on the wall.
It fell. Glenn will say I threw it.
So we all know that both primers and powders remain difficult to obtain, but bullets have become much easier to find, and the prices really haven't increased much compared to most other items over the same time period. Last week, I was in Frontier Outfitters, and I noticed that they're now carrying the Blue Bullets brand, which is a very good line of bullets, especially if you're looking for quality and economy. And who's not, right? Blue Bullets, and that's the brand name, Blue Bullets, because they're blue, are frequently used in USPSA and Steel Challenge competitions because of their accuracy. They're really good bullets, and I've used them for many years and still do. But if you want to become a better shooter, most of us have to practice, which means doing lots of shooting, and that gets expensive. So using Blue Bullets means economy without the mess of the cast bullets with wax lube to clog up your seating dies and gum up your pistol after 500 or 600 rounds. Those of you that have shot a lot of cast bullets with wax know what I'm talking about. But the coating that Blue Bullets uses on their bullets means little smoke when you're shooting, which is nice if you're shooting indoors or in the bright sunlight and shooting quickly. And the clean operation both for your pistol and your reloading operation. And I'll tell you that these new bullets today with high-tech or MOLLE coating, they're a lot easier on your barrel versus jacketed bullets as far as the longevity of your barrel.
I didn't know that.
And, when you shoot a pistol, 100, 200,000 rounds, you're shooting jacketed bullets all the time. You're going to wear that barrel out sooner than if you're shooting something with a softer jacket,
okay,
like, the MOLLE coated or high-tech bullets. But Frontier had a variety of these bulk pistol bullets by Blue Bullets, and they had them in all the popular pistol calibers, and the pricing was really excellent. As an example, the 115-grain 9mm bullets were just a little bit above 7 cents each, which is really a great price, especially today, for a really good bullet. Heck, you pay more that for a single primer today, this whole thing has been reversed. In the past, the primer was the cheapest thing. Your powder was the second most expensive, and your bullet was by far the most expensive component. Now it's the other way. The bullet's the cheapest thing now, It's crazy. So if you're looking for some really great pistol bullets and a really good price, head over to Frontier and check out their selection, because carrying Blue Bullets is something new to them. I was talking, and they just got them in, and it's new to for those their inventory. And I would love to see them increase their inventory and be a good outlet for quality bulk bullet sales in Fairbanks. Because those Blue Bullets, they really are a good bullet.
Yeah, tell them you appreciate them carrying the Blue Bullets when you get over there. They are the sponsor of the program.
Well, I was just glad to see that they have that.
Yeah.
That's great. And it seems like they're trying to increase their inventory a little bit over there on reloading components, which is good. So, let's see. We have
50 seconds.
50 seconds. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back, we're going to talk about some things that I've encountered while I was traveling and shooting over the last 4 months. I shot 37 sanctioned matches this winter, and I used over 16,000 rounds
of
ammunition between matches and practice. And during that time, I witnessed some interesting things that I haven't encountered before, and a lot of it is due to what's going on with these component
things. So stay tuned, and after the break, we'll be back.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep. In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low, he always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellas come, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, Ragtime Cowboy Joe.
10,000 watts of news and conversation, sponsored by American Tire and Auto.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden is in Brussels, Belgium today, where he met with NATO leaders discussing Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine and announcing $1 billion in humanitarian assistance for Ukrainian refugees.
To help get relief to millions of Ukrainians affected by the war in Ukraine.
The president also saying Russia would face a strong allied response if its forces used chemical weapons in Ukraine. The U.S. is also imposing new sanctions on hundreds of Russian oligarchs, officials, and defense companies. A near-record low number of jobless claims were filed last week.
The Labor Department says there were 187,000 new claims for unemployment benefits last week, the lowest level since 1969. Those still receiving benefits dropped to 1.3 million.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Fairbanks Community Food Bank CEO Ann Weavers spoke at the Chamber of Commerce meeting yesterday. KTVF Channel 11 reports the meeting was focused on the differences between for and nonprofits and how they each benefit the community and one another. A for-profit company is designed to bring profit back to the owners of the company, which in turn brings money back into the community. A nonprofit, according to Ann Weaver, efficiently and effectively serves the community. The majority of the food bank's staff and board of directors are volunteers, and they are always in need of more. Ann Weaver said, "When you give us a dollar, you know where it's going." Measuring success in a nonprofit, according to Weaver, is usually more in terms of positive community impact rather than the amount of goods and/or services sold. Over the last year during the COVID-19 pandemic, the community provided over 800,000 meals and almost 23,000 volunteer hours to the food bank. During the meeting, Weaver emphasized how efficient the food bank is with people's contributions and how someone's time or money, no matter how big or small, can go a long way.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey, it's Steve from Auto Trim Design. We take care of our family, and we're looking to add one more to the team. We currently have an opening for a hard parts installer. Duties include installing running boards, moose lights, and similar. Applicants are required to have their own basic set of tools. We offer medical, dental, or retirement program and provide on-the-job training as well. If you're a vehicle enthusiast, you can't go wrong with joining the Auto Trim Design family. Apply in person at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
When you think about the blessings of this great country of ours, the list is long. Yet, freedom is chief among them. Freedom to live your life for you and your family. Freedom to keep and bear arms. Freedom to travel without unreasonable restriction. Arctic RV helps their customers exercise their personal freedoms on the road, exploring and camping in beautiful Alaska. Although Arctic RV is closed for the season, they will reopen Monday, April 4th. Arctic RV, rough it in style. See you this spring.
You never know when you'll need your Snowway snowplow. Whether it's an early dump or a late season blizzard, when you move a lot of the white stuff around, it just makes sense to keep your plow in top shape. Ready to move whatever Mother Nature dishes out? You can rely on Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer, to repair and maintain your plow using Snowway factory original parts. Rogers Auto Repair, located on Dale Road near the airport. Call them today at 907-479-6665.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and today Glenn Miller, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? And you can call in and ask Glenn any reloading, ammunition, or gun questions. And I'll turn the program back over to Glenn.
Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about, and I haven't seen this before, this is something new, and it's defective primers.
Oh.
So this happened. It was a shooter on my squad. We were shooting a USPSA match, and he had a misfire during the match. The hammer fell. It went click. It didn't go bang.
Hang on. We have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller. You are on the line with Laura and Glenn.
Hey, Laura, Glenn. Great to have you back, Glenn.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, just a quick word about those blue bullets. I was turned on to them by a fellow shooter at the range some time ago, and then asked you about them, and it was good advice. But what I would say is an added advantage is if you're using an automatic bullet feeder, the softness or relative softness as compared to full metal jacket bullets allows that blue bullet to drop in and stand very upright and never tip over.
So that's something you see with the with just blue bullets or some of the other Molly and high-tech coated bullets?
I have not used the others, but my only basis for comparison is full metal jacket bullets.
Right.
And so they do stand up better than the full metal jackets.
Well, good. Thanks for the tip. I know I don't use a bullet feeder. My bullet feeder are my left thumb and left first finger. But it's obviously a lot slower than a bullet feeder. But even doing it that way, sometimes I get them upside down.
Talk to me. Have a good day, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. So we were talking about defective primers. So I had a situation where a shooter had a failure to fire. After he was finished shooting the stage, we retrieved that round of ammunition and looked at it, and it looked like it had a really good primer strike, meaning it wasn't a light primer strike. It was a really good dent in it. So, you know, that kind of puzzled us, and so we basically pulled the cartridge apart and found it had, you know, proper amounts of powder in it. So we deprimed the case for examination, and what we found was the anvil of the primer was missing. And for those of you that, you know, don't know how the primer works, there's the compound that is the explosive charge is in between the cup, which is on the exterior part of the primer, and then there's an anvil on the inside. And when the firing pin hits the cup, it crushes that compound against the anvil. So if that anvil is gone, there's no ignition. And that's what happened. That anvil was not there. So upon contacting the primer manufacturer, and this was a known brand primer. It wasn't some off-the-wall primers like you're seeing now. So some of the, you know, strange primers that I don't know where they're made. This was one of the major manufacturers. We contacted them. They were apologetic, and they said that, yes, this can happen and has happened before, and not frequently, but sometimes this has been happening with the increased pressure that they're on there for manufacturing.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes some of the QA, you know, slips through the cracks. So they were very apologetic. They offered to send a package of primers to the shooter for the inconvenience, which he certainly accepted.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is primers can have defects, especially now when, you know, manufacturing is stressed. So when you empty your primers into a flip tray prior to your priming process, look at them. Look at the inside of the primers and make sure they look normal before you flip them over and fill your primer tubes for if you're using a progressive press. But just make sure they look complete, meaning, you know, they have anvils and they look to be normal. Last year, I talked about getting bullet orders from various reputable companies that had bullets that were either deformed or had significant weight fluctuations that could really cause problems when you're, you know, loading and shooting. So until manufacturing pressures decrease and are back to whatever is going to be the new normal, take some time and examine your loading components before you just assume that they are as they should be. Use your scale, weigh your bullets. You know, I always do that. I always, if I open a new box of bullets, I always take some bullets and I weigh them just to make sure that they truly are the weight in which they're advertised to be. And if you see something that looks weird, don't assume it's good. You know, just double check, because there's a lot of weird things going on right now with components.
Yeah.
So when I talked about some brass casings that I had difficulty with, I'm going to talk about that right now. Norma brass casings. All of us associate Norma with high quality ammunition and brass for reloading. And while I was shooting a USPSA match a few months ago at the Volusia Gun Club near Daytona, that's a great place to shoot, let me tell you. They have 30, I think it's 34 bays for shooters.
Oh.
And with a full steel challenge course set up permanently. And it's really a great club. But anyway, I was shooting there, and I noticed there were several competitors that were shooting factory Norma 9mm ammunition out of their pistol caliber carbines and various 9mm pistols. And when the match was over, these competitors, they had no interest in retrieving their once-fired 9mm casings. So being the typical reloader that I am, I gladly did their share of cleaning up the range along with picking up my brass, right? And what was interesting is I quickly noticed that the inside of these casings were bright and shiny. I've never seen that before. I mean, bright and shiny, like they have been cleaned. Huh. And there was no carbon fouling whatsoever. And I've never encountered spent casings that were that cleaned after just being fired.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure what type of powder primer combination Norma is using for these rounds, but it's the cleanest I've ever encountered. And, of course, it makes the cleaning process that much easier. And I thought, you know, these casings, which I picked up by the hundreds, were really quite a good find, right? And so when these Norma casings, when they found their way into my reloading press, is where my happiness for the find went downhill quickly. All right?
Oh, dear.
For some unknown reasons, Norma is making their primer flash hole significantly smaller than the typical flash hole, and it's small enough where a standard size decapping pin will not fit through the flash hole.
Oh.
It's just like you hit a Berdan style priming system. It just stops. And let me tell you, don't think you can use some extra force and widen out that flash hole with your decapping pin. It won't work. Ask me how I know. Okay. If you're lucky enough to be using the, you know, Lee decapping system, it'll simply slip through the collet without damage. But if you're using other types of solidly mounting decapping pins, you'll be replacing the pin.
Okay.
I don't know why Norma does this, but it is a big headache. So far, I've had no luck trying to determine why Norma is doing this, but if you encounter fired Norma 9mm brass and it looks really clean on the inside, take a look at the flash hole before throwing them in with your other 9mm brass. It's visibly apparent compared to standard size flash holes, and the inspection may save you some aggravation and some decapping pins.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing this, but otherwise, I mean, it's great brass, but, you know, if you want to sit there and drill the holes out, I guess, but who's got time to do that? You know?
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
So
let's go ahead and go to break.
Yep.
We're going to
go to break,
and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, it's Steve from Auto Trim Design. We take care of our family, and we're looking to add one more to the team. We currently have an opening for a hard parts installer. Duties include installing running boards, moose lights, and similar. Applicants are required to have their own basic set of tools. We offer medical, dental, or retirement program and provide on-the-job training as well. If you're a vehicle enthusiast, you can't go wrong with joining the Auto Trim Design family. Apply in person at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need. Rods to tackle to ice augers. At Frontier Outfitters, you'll also find the right winter clothing. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs in Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Mainly clear skies and quiet today with daytime highs approaching 29. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 8 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. A mix of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 6 degrees above zero.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and today Glenn Miller. KFAR Radio, please call in at 458-8825-5545-8TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today and call in and ask Glenn any firearms, ammunition, and reloading questions. During the break, we gave the clock a proper burial, and we will see if a new clock appears next week. Okay, I'm going to turn the show over to Glenn.
Okay, so once again, if you encounter any Norma 9mm brass, look closely. It'll look closely at that flash hole. Boy, those really created some problems in my press. So also, while I was shooting a number of matches, I witnessed a number of competitors this winter shooting pistols that had failures to fire. Meaning, once again, the firing pin hit the primer, but no ignition. And when this happens, you know, the shooter always normally tries to find their round and try to figure out what's going on for diagnostic purposes. And in all of these incidents, it always looked like a light strike on the primer. So, you know, we always thought, well, is the primer not seated completely? You didn't seat the primer all the way and you had a high primer. But when looking at all of their spent casings, they all looked lighter than normal. And making inquiries with these competitors, I found out that they're all using small rifle primers in their pistol loads because it's all they had available to them. Okay, they didn't have any small pistol primers, so they're using rifle primers. And in these cases, you know, it cost them valuable time in the match, and it eliminated any chance at a good finish. But if it had happened in a self-defense scenario, the costs would have been much greater.
Yes, yeah.
So just kind of a reminder again, you know, I know people are trying to just make it work with whatever they have, but rifle primers are designed differently from pistol primers. They have a thicker and harder cup to handle higher pressures and frequently have greater cup charge to ignite larger volumes of powder, which could result in higher pressures not accounted for when using pistol load data. I know primers are difficult to find, but substituting loading components can result in unknown results, often not what you wanted. So, you know, we're still struggling with this whole thing with primers, and boy, they sure are expensive when you can find them. I talk with a variety of competitors down in Florida and getting ready for big matches, and they're buying them regardless of the cost just so they have primers, and some were paying up to 12 cents a piece.
Wow, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
12 cents a piece for primers. So, and speaking of primers being hard to find, I've recently witnessed shooters that were picking up live rounds from the ground, and this is something I never do unless I intend on disassembling them, pulling them apart, and using the brass. You never want to shoot a cartridge that you find on the ground unless you know its origin, because who knows if someone loaded that round properly or not, and it's just not worth the risk if you're going to pick that up and shoot it. But these shooters I encountered lately, they weren't picking up these rounds to shoot them. They were doing so to disassemble them, and not for the brass, but for the primer. They wanted to salvage the primer. This is how desperate for primers we have become, you know. But it's not a great idea, and it's never recommended that you deprime a case with a live primer. And if you intend on loading that case, it's a guess as to what type of primer is in that case, unless it's a factory non-reloaded cartridge. We got still some time. I want to share some information about a company called Inline Fabrications.
Okay.
I've talked about some of their products before and what this company offers for reloaders, and I use a variety of their products. And recently, they helped me out when I had to relocate one of my Dillon presses. So, as you know, Laura, last month my dad passed away.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And he introduced me to reloading 47 years ago, and we shared a Dillon 550 press, which was set up in his basement in Pennsylvania, and this is where I loaded all my ammo for shooting matches during the winter months. So losing my dad also meant his house has to be sold, and my reloading operation needs a new home. Luckily, my mom doesn't live far from there, and I decided to relocate all my reloading equipment so I could continue to load my ammo for, you know, the winter months there.
Yeah.
So I found this nice sturdy workbench in the basement, and it consisted of these 2x6 planks bolted to a heavy metal framework. Really nice. The problem is the planks were attached from the center, which makes them prone to wobble, which is not a good scenario when bolting a progressive press to an edge of a plank, which introduces torsional stress. It moves around. So I called the folks at Inline Fabrication, and they referred me to their Ultimate mounts, which are similar in concept to the Dillon Strong mounts, with one big exception. They use an interchangeable top plate, and this allows you to bolt your press or any other device to a plate, which quickly attaches to the Ultimate mount in 30 seconds with two wing nuts, and it is sturdy. It's a really nice setup. A real advantage to this system is you can have multiple presses or equipment, such as case trimmers, swagers, presses, vices, attached via that quick change plate. And when you're not using that piece of equipment, you take it off, hang it on the wall out of the way, via the docking mounts that Inline Fabrications makes. It's a great way to save space on your bench, and you only have the equipment you're using on the bench in front of you. And, you know, us reloaders, we wind up with a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And where is it all bolted? Usually on the edge of the bench, right in your, you know, unless you're using it, it's in your way. So this is a great way to get that stuff out of your way and still have a really solid mount. And those of you who have reloaded with me or have taken my reloading classes know I stress bench organization and the importance of having an uncluttered workspace. Loading ammo on a bench that's disorderly and has mixed components laying around is a real recipe for mistakes, which is something reloaders don't have the luxury of doing without catastrophic results. So these mounts that are made by Inline Fabrications, they're really well made. They're heavy duty. It spreads the mounting surface of your equipment over a large area of your bench, making it really sturdy. And for the bench I'm using with these planks, it made the press rock solid.
We have a call.
We have a caller. You are on the line with Glenn and Laura.
Hey, I was wondering if you're doing a lot of handgun shooting. I'm a 44 kind of guy, and I've been loading that thing since 81. When you're working up your loads, I just, swapping components around ain't no fun, but I just managed to pay $150 for 1,000 350 Magnum primers. But at least I got some.
Wow.
Looking to see if When you're working up a load, are you working up? Are you ladder testing your pistol rounds like you do rifles? I mean, I've did that many a time.
No, I don't do that with pistol rounds. Just because I'm not looking for that type of accuracy out of my pistols. I do like my pistols, obviously, to be very accurate, but I don't do the ladder testing for pistols.
So, what are you just working up a load that you like, and they all kind of land the same spot, pretty much?
Pretty much. I'm just looking for consistency. I'm looking for the proper power factor. I'm looking for the firearm to work properly if it's a semi-auto function, and, of course, reasonable accuracy.
Yeah, along with the recoil to make so you can do a recovery shot, right?
Well, yes. Like I say, you know, the power factor that you're looking for. If you're loading for, like, Steel Challenge, you want to load it as absolute light as possible, but you still want to have the pistol function and operate properly. If you're shooting for USPSA, obviously you need a certain power factor.
Yeah, because I've been shooting the same, pretty much same load for years and years. But I changed up with from the Magnum primer down to the standard large pistol primer or whatever, and yeah, the rounds flew off 2 inches from where they normally were flying, and I was like, oh, man, what happened? But I wanted to bump some stuff up. There was an old guy I knew. He's in his 70s, and he could take a 44 in 15 minutes and have a load worked up for it that a lot small in the same spot. And he would never say how he did it, but I guess I'm looking for that holy grail somewhere down the line.
Well, I don't try to hold my secrets. I try to share them, you know. And if I had a really good way to load up a 44 load or work it up in 15 minutes, I'd certainly share it with you. But it usually takes longer than that.
Yeah, he's passed now, so that's gone. I'm all sad about that.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what kind of shooting do you do?
What's that?
Are you target shooting, or what are you doing with that
44? I try to sink them all on a pie plate at 150 yards with a 7.5-inch Ruger.
Oh, okay.
It works pretty good. And then I've got a 10-inch Ruger, and then I've got your 20-inch B92.
Okay,
and,
all right.
I lob all of them rounds out of they're all the same. The only difference is the velocities. And I done figured out that the 10-inch is pretty much right close enough to the rifle and far enough away from the 7.5 that you're burning all the powder that I'm burning by the time it gets out that 10.
Well, have fun and enjoy yourself with this.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye. Bye. We've got about 2 minutes left. We've got 2 minutes left. Glenn, do you have anything in closing?
2 minutes. Let me wrap up a little bit about this inline fabrication.
Yeah.
So if you're interested or you are trying to save some space on your bench, you want a little bit more solid mount, look to the folks in Inline Fabrications, and that it's inlinefabrication.com. And the other big advantage with using this company, they do free shipping, even to Alaska. They do a fabulous job of packing your products up. They ship for free, and especially, you know, to Alaska, that makes a big difference here when I find companies that'll do that.
Yes.
But you won't be disappointed with these products. They make excellent things, and I use a variety of their products, and they just have all kinds of stuff on their website. So check them out, but the mounts are super. They really are nice. They make your press solid and make your reloading a lot more enjoyable when you have a nice, solidly mounted press.
Well, we really appreciate you being on the program today, and let's see, you're taking off again. Hopefully you'll be back.
Well,
you'll be back in June. You'll do the June.
Yes,
programs.
I'll be in. I have to take care of some arrangements for my dad and going back to Lower 48. Yeah. But for the most part, I'll be here all summer and looking forward to coming back on the program.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And folks, tonight is the Golden Heart Shooting Society's executive board meeting. Next week is their general membership meeting. I think I'm going to go to that. It's the Thursday, the 31st. And Saturday, April 2nd, is one of their shoots at the TVSA Indoor Range. We will see you all next week, and I promise you a great program.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.